All right, everybody awake? If you're online, are you awake? All right, today we're continuing our series on thankfulness. And it's fitting, obviously, with Thanksgiving. And today our topic is God's action follows our gratitude. If you listen to a lot of the teachings of some churches, cultures, and even other religions, one of the common themes that you're going to run across and you're going to hear is, here's how to twist the arm of God to get what you want. Here's how to put God on the spot to get him to do what you want him to do. I want to be healed, or I want someone else to be healed, and here's how to twist the arm of God to get that done. I want him to give me a new car. How many of you want a new car? A couple of us. We got a few more people that are honest, yeah. Here's how to twist the arm of God to get a new car. I want to change my husband or wife. I'm not going to ask about that one. Don't answer, Kenny. I want to change my husband or wife, and so here's how to twist the arm of God to get that done. I want to fix my rebellious child, or I want to have the premium parking place every time I drive into a store parking lot. I want the premium parking place, and I'm going to twist the arm of God to make that happen. And we can listen to all of these tactics and secret codes and things that you can chant in order to get God to do what you want him to do. But when it comes to moving God's heart, and when it comes to God's motion and movement in our lives, there are three things that we're going to talk about today. Number one, the question is, have you come to him with thanksgiving? Have you come to him with thanksgiving? And secondly, what is God's will? What is God's will? And third, does your will align with God's will? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church about this. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy." James, Joe Michael, will you bring me a couple of batteries? I'm sorry, let's take a pause here. All right, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You want to know the will of God for your life. And sometimes we don't want to know the will of God for our life. Sometimes we just want God to do what we want him to do, and that's where the arm twisting comes in, and we've got to be very careful of that. All right, so what is the scripture saying? It's saying, first, we've got to come to him with thanksgiving. You say, well, the thanksgiving wasn't even in that verse. There wasn't anything about thank you. Well, look at it. It says, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. What is he saying? With thanksgiving for God's mercy. Giving thanks for what God has done in your life. How many of you have received mercy from God? All of us have received mercy from God. And he says, in view of that, in other words, with gratitude for God's mercy in your life, this is what you need to do. Now, if one of my kids came to me wanting something, and to get it, they had devised a plan that in order to get what they wanted from their father, they would come to me and they would start telling me how horrible of a father I am. "Dad, you've not done it for me. Dad, you didn't give me this. You didn't give me that. Dad, what is wrong with you? You've messed up my life." If they started going down that path to get what I wanted to, that what they wanted me to give them, I think that I should give that to them. I'd be a horrible father if I did. As a pastor, I know I'm a good pastor. Come on. I know I'm a good teacher. I know it because I've worked hard at it. I know it. Now, it's not prideful to say that. I know that because I want you to know the truth. I know I'm a good under shepherd. If I'm missing you, I'm going to call you. I'm going to check on you. I'm going to make sure that you're okay. I know that. And if someone were to come to me that wanted something, and they started telling me how horrible of a pastor I am, and horrible of a person I am, and a horrible under shepherd that I am, I would be wrong to bless them with that attitude, wouldn't I? Now, in the same way, God says, and boy, he's way better than I could ever imagine. God says, I know I'm a good father. I know that I'm the good shepherd. And he's on a way bigger level than we could ever imagine. God says, I know that I'm good. I know that I have your best interest at heart. I know that that my will is way bigger and way better than you could ever imagine. He's confident, and he's watched over us carefully as the good shepherd. He knows us, and he knows his sheep. Now, approaching God in view of God's mercy is key to you getting the perfect will of God implemented into your life. Approaching him and saying, God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you have my best interest at heart. Thank you. Don't sometimes like fixing this microphone. It's driving me crazy. Coming to him with thanksgiving is the beginning and it's key. But for those who only see God as a judgmental, angry God that's waiting to throw people into hell, God cannot and will not reward that. He'd be wrong. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What is this saying? There's two ways. And he says, he's teaching to approach God here. How do you approach God? He says, anyone who comes to him, anyone who approaches God, number one, must believe that he exists, and number two, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In other words, must believe that he's good to those who love him, good to those who seek him, good to those who want to know him, good to those who are seeking his loving kindness. But those of us who are angry at him and don't see him as a good God, a God that gives, a God that loves, a God that takes care of, a God that says no when he's supposed to say no because he's a good God, when we don't see him like that, we come to him angry and we think we're going to get him to do what we want him to do? Not at all. But to those who believe, those are who he responds to. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about thankfulness. Thankfulness. God rewards those who look to him with. Secondly, here, God's movement in your circumstances takes God's will. What is God's will about what you want? Is it wrong to want a car? No. Might be wrong to want a new spouse, but it's never wrong to want a new car, right? But it may not be God's will. And the question that you've got to ask is, what is God's will for what I want in my life? How can you know it? Is it possible? Look at what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So to know God's will, starting with thanksgiving for God's mercy, then you do this. You start with thanksgiving for his mercy, then you do this. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and see it as worship, proper worship. In other words, your body no longer belongs to you. Your body belongs to God. Your soul will never die because God has healed it, but this body can die. Now, understanding God's good, pleasing, and perfect will begins with being thankful and offering your body to His service, no matter what that may bring. So the kingdom greats in the Bible, they offered themselves up for the Lord's service. And some were imprisoned, some of them were beheaded, some of them were ran through with swords, others were burned at the stake, they faced hardships, they faced physical difficulties. Women went for decades not being able to have kids because the kid that God wanted to give them, it needed to happen at a specific time in order for it to work out in God's timeline for the Messiah to come. That sounds like God just made them go through decades of difficult and struggle, wondering, why can't I have a baby? Can you imagine having to do that? All for God's purpose. You see, knowing God's good, pleasing, and perfect will begins with you offering yourself up and saying, God, I'm in this. I belong to you. It doesn't matter what happens to this body. This body is yours now for your service, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust my soul is in your hands of care. That's true and proper worship, he says. You see, true worship means it's authentic, it's real, it's genuine, it's bona fide, it's authentic, it's real worship. It's kind of like if your child were angry with you. You ever had your kid angry with you? Some of us have. And you knew that they hadn't gotten over it. You knew it. And they come up to you and they start buttering you up. And you're like, what changed? They didn't repent. I know that they're still mad at me. And they come buttering you up. Hey, I like that shirt today, Dad. What do you want? Right? True, genuine worship is coming to Him with thanksgiving for His mercy that you don't deserve. It's coming to Him and saying, thank you, God, for your provision that you didn't deserve. Thanking Him for your health that you do have, that you didn't deserve. The promise of healing that He sealed in His body, the healing that you don't deserve. Thanksgiving for God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Children don't always understand what their parents are doing, do they? They do get angry. They do throw fits. Every now and then I'm in Walmart and I'm thinking, Lord, thank God I've already raised my kids. I was in there one day, and I could hear, I was in sporting goods, and all the way across I could hear a kid in groceries just screaming their head off. Thank you, Jesus. It's not me. But as they grow and mature, if the parent has been a healthy and good parent, if the parent has been consistent in discipline and teaching them and showing them, a loving parent, that everything that they did was for their good, eventually they'll figure it out as they mature, right? And you see, God is a very secure parent, and He knows when He doesn't answer your request and He doesn't do things your way, He knows that it's for your good. And He knows and He's trusting that one day you'll mature to a place where you'll understand that your role is to offer your the living sacrifice. That no matter what He does or doesn't do for you, that no matter how He uses your body for His glory, that no matter what He does in your life or doesn't do in your life, that you trust Him with it and believe Him with it. When a young man or woman goes into the U.S. military, they are no longer their own. When they sign those papers, it's no longer about being male or female. It's no longer about being white, black, Asian, or Hispanic. It's no longer about rich or poor. they could have come from a very poverty place, and standing next to him is a guy that came from military or from millions of dollars, you know, and they have voluntarily put their body into someone else's possession. They no longer belong to themselves. Did you know that if they choose to eat the wrong stuff and become unhealthy, that the government has a problem with that? They can be disciplined for it. If they go to the beach and get sunburned, they can get charged by the government for damaging government property. Now, in the same way, we've got to understand that God's will is better than us voluntarily offering ourselves to the U.S. government. God's will is voluntarily offering ourselves to Him for Him to monitor and watch over our lives, to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him, to offer in that way. The scripture says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. When you sign up to become a Christian, you belong to God. Your body belongs to Him. And what you do with it, where you go, and the things you put in this body, everything from your eyes to your ears belongs to Him. Isn't that awesome? And you offer it up to Him. Now, you may find that God used your body to bring glory in His kingdom like you never understood. When you lie on your deathbed, you might be able to look back. I had no idea that's what God was going to do. The man that Jesus healed, we talked about him last week. He healed his eyes. He had been blind from birth. And the scripture says, Jesus said, the reason for that was for God's glory, that he had been born blind for God's glory. What a story. His body belonged to God. The Apostle Paul, he wrote letters. Most of the New Testament was written while he was sitting in prison. Imagine that. And here we are, 2,000 years later, we still read from those scriptures and we study those scriptures. He offered himself. Joseph had no idea that sitting in jail for 13 years would do what it did. He ended up becoming the second in command in the greatest city in the world at that time, the greatest nation in the world. Amazing. Job. He seemed to be cursed above all men. His children all died at once. His livestock all died. His home was burned down. All at once. Then he ended up with boils all over his body. All because he loved God. He offered his body up as a living sacrifice. And here's what Job was quoted as saying. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's faith. That's love. To know God's will, you start with giving thanksgiving to him for his mercy. Then you do this. You offer your body as a living sacrifice. And secondly, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll get to God's will. So let God transform your way of thinking. You ever had stinking thinking? You don't know it at the time, do you? You think everybody else is wrong. Let God transform you by the renewing of your mind. You see, as you begin to want to love God, to want to trust that God's laws are good for you, you'll begin thinking differently about everything. God will transform your mind. Ask for Him to do it. Ask for His help, and He will do it. There'll be times that I teach something from up here that you go, whoa, wait a second. That differs from everything that I've thought before. That's different than what I was taught in the world. I grew up thinking this was this way, but you're saying God says it this way. I don't understand. And if you'll begin to ask Him, God will begin to tutor you. He'll begin to teach you. God will even help you to want to understand him and the truth. Philippians chapter 2 says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. In other words, as you work on the issues that you don't understand, you let God begin to tutor you and teach you, and God works in you to will. In other words, God will tweak your wanter. God will tweak what you want, and you'll begin to want to understand him and understand why he says and does what he does. God will help you to will and act. God will help you to understand and learn his ways. And not only that, but he'll help you to want to understand his ways. Isn't that awesome? How many of you like that? I want to understand his ways. One of my prayers all the time is this: God, help me to want what you want. Help me to want what you want. And when you begin wanting to understand him, you can. Intentionally. Think right now of something that you know God says is wrong, that you grew up or you learned along the way that shouldn't be wrong. That it's out of line with what you learned growing up or wherever you were. Think of something. And then begin to ask God to teach you about it. Ask him, God, tutor me on this. Teach me. I need to understand more. I need to understand how this is loving for you to say this or do this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's movement in your circumstances takes three things. Number one, have you come to him with thanksgiving? Secondly, is it God's will? It's a great question. Number three, does your will align with God's will? This is how Jesus taught us to pray. It says he taught him to pray by saying, Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Father, let your will come. Let your will be on earth. I invite you to move. I invite your presence to change things and even change how I think. Ask for God's will to be done in your life. Ask him for it. And here's the key. God's will is good. His will is good. But as long as you think that his will is mean or angry or doesn't make sense, you're missing it. You got to come to him with thanksgiving for his mercy. James David, would you come? I want to read something King David wrote. David wrote this beautiful psalm about giving thanks. Giving thanks for who God is, what he does, what he's done, and why God did it. And in all the things that God did, David declared that the reason God does anything is because of his amazing love. Now we're talking about King David, a guy that has seen a lot of pain and heartache and struggle in his life. And as we read through this passage and you see how David looked and said, man, God is so loving. He's so awesome. He's so amazing. He said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, His love endures forever. And it's at this point that we might lose some steam in this, because he begins to list the kings, a couple of the kings that he killed, that God had killed. And we think, well, we don't know those kings. We don't understand it. But you have to understand, when he read this to these people heard these kings' names, and you can just imagine the cheering and applauding that began to happen. He said, Sihon, king of the Amorites, His love endures forever. God killed that guy. He said, and Og, king of Bashan, woo, he took care of him. His love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance to us, he says. His love endures forever. And he remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. We can look at all of that and say, wow, that's not a loving God. But David said, oh, what a loving God. What a good God. Do you believe in His mercy for you? We'll end with this story. One day, Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. As He was going into the village, there were 10 men with leprosy. And they stayed at a distance, but they got His attention, and they yelled at Him and said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They needed more than pity. And Jesus gave them the most simple of instructions. He said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as these guys were walking along, you can imagine what they were thinking. Man, why did he tell us to go show ourselves to the priest? We can't even get into the doors. But look what it says. As they went, they were healed. As they went, they didn't even make it there. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Wait a second. I thought he was already healed. Why would Jesus say that? You see, the real miracle didn't happen for the other 9. The word that was used here in some translations is whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. It's the same word that you'll find in other scriptures like Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. The word save there is the same word Jesus used here. Your faith has made you saved. The other nine didn't get that far. Thankfulness is the pathway to salvation. You see, it's one thing for the owner of your company to put a truck out back and say, hey, you guys have turkeys out there. If you want to go get a turkey out of the truck, we're giving turkeys away to all the employees this year. It's one thing for you to get a turkey, but it's a completely different thing for the manager or the owner of your company to invite you to come and sit at his Thanksgiving table. It's completely different. And that's what thankfulness in God's kingdom does. It's one thing to be healed, but it's a completely different thing to be saved. God wants to give you it all. But it begins by presenting yourself to Him as a living sacrifice and saying, God, I don't care if this body is never healed the way I want it to be healed. I don't care if I go through stuff like the guys in all of Scripture went through and the women in all of Scripture went through. God, I belong to you. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice and saying, thank you for your mercy. And I'm going to go through the rest of my life belonging to you. I'm in your service, God. I belong to you. What is God's will for you? And have you aligned your will with His will? Have you come back to say thank you for your mercy? Would you bow your heads? You're here today. Maybe you've been struggling with something all your life. Maybe you've been the most faithful person in all of the world, and yet here you are. You struggle. Maybe you need healing. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you've had financial hardship all your life. Maybe you grew up in a situation that wasn't the best. In fact, maybe for you it feels like it was probably the worst. Find your gratitude today. Find something to say thank you to God about. And here's a quick and easy start. Mercy. Father, thank you for your mercy. In all of my sin and all of my struggles, I thank you for your mercy. I turn it over to you and I trust you with my life. And I thank you for being a God that loves me. And like King David, I declare today that your love endures forever. And I thank you for your love in my life. Thank you for your mercy for me. I need you. Wash me and cleanse me. Thank you. And today, God, I offer myself, my body, up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Based on what Jesus did for me on the cross, I give you my life. I give you all the things I don't understand, and I trust you to the end. And today, God, I align my will with yours, and I ask you, move in my life, your will and your way, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.